this morning's sermon is a continuation of last week's sermon, Purging Egypt Out of Us. I think I gave a sprawling introduction last week before I read that whole 19th chapter, which I won't read this morning. But what I want to try to achieve this morning is we're going to talk mostly about Egypt, and that's the subject or whatever. A lot of time we focus on Israel and the children of Israel, that rebellious group of people, the Israelites, and I'm going to try to put this in a context where you understand who Egypt was, what Egypt was, because as I was reading scripture from Genesis, said, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. They were serving Egypt, the nation that they served. God sent them, allowed them to be placed in Egypt, but it was according to his will. And I told you, Egypt, according to how the context is in, I don't want to take it out of context. A lot of times we pull things out of context, and it'll make it say something that it doesn't say, that it doesn't intend. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt also are our brethren. Egypt can be many of things, but we have to see what context it was in, what context God delivers all of the sermons in. It'd be like the Trump administration. I had quoted something Dr. Fawcett said, had edited in and placed it in a place where it made it look like he was complimenting them or saying something that he really wasn't. He gave voice to that and said, well, you took it out of context in what I'm saying. And that's what we have to see in Egypt is, it's a religious, a cornucopia of religion. There was many different religions in Egypt. Egypt is like United States of America day today, where there's various different religions, a whole lot of different religions, taking the word of God and pulling it out of the context in which it belongs in and making it mean other things. And the prophets and the politicians and all of the leaders are causing us to be carried away with different cultural ideas, different philosophies of men. And without hearing the voice of God, knowing what the voice of God is, we're carried about by various winds of doctrines, superstitions, and cultural traditions and different things, instead of hearing and knowing what God is saying. And God says, my sheep won't follow another, and that they would hear his voice. And we know that God spoke to Abraham. And that's why when Paul was using the analogy and talking to the Galatians about the law, and they were trying to, the Judaizers was trying to bring the people under the things of the law or whatever, and looking at the legality of the law. And we hear a lot of New Testament religions and Christians nowadays saying that the law had been done away with or whatever, and he explained what was the purpose of the law and why the law was given. But he was using Abraham and Hagar. Hagar is the bond woman. We talked about that the other night, that Abraham received in Egypt. And Hagar was the mother of Ishmael. Ishmael was one of Abraham's sons. And if we don't watch what's going on and follow the analogy through the Spirit, we don't know what we're picking up or what tangent we get on. Someone had asked me the other day about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or whatever. Now, have you noticed whenever y'all ask me something or someone's talking to me, I try to get the particulars of it. And a lot of times I ask you, well, why did you ask me that? Where did that come from? What's the purpose? Because conversations usually follow what's going on around you or whatever. And if you don't be careful, you'll be carried around are carried away with the wind of doctrine or cultural ideas that Satan works subtly to pull you in another direction or whatever. And so my first point, that's the best introduction I could give on that, headed in that direction. But I guess my first point would be the house of bondage. And Egypt was a type of bondage. It was a type of the world. And that's what's the house of bondage. Egypt would be the same as Babylon is in the New Testament. It's a type of the world or the church or the world system. And God calls us out of Babylon. He calls us out of Egypt. There's one scripture that was fulfilled in the book, in the New Testament, in one of the Gospels, is Matthew or Luke, where it says, "I've called my son out of Egypt." And I tell you, Egypt is a type of the world. We see that Jesus, when he was praying, he says, "I have left them in the world, but keep them from the evil that's in the world." So we have to stay focused and stay away from things in the world that's consistently trying to bring us into bondage of the world. In the world's ideology, the world's thinking, the world's ways, the way's cultures and everything. And it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to stay away from those things. And you'll get that intermingle, and that's what all of the prophets and all of the people of God have been fighting all along. And it's almost, it seems like a losing battle. You have, just like in this nation, when they founded this nation, the forefathers of the nation, the founders and everything, they said, "Well, look, they fled England, and they come over here," and say it was about taxes and everything, but they didn't want religion to be set up in a way that the government would take part in it, because that's why they say a separation of state and religion. But some kind of way or another, just like in Egypt, the people have gotten away, and that's why a lot of times the division comes within families in different places. It has a way of bringing you back into bondage, and unless you can hear the voice of the Word of God, you'll remain in bondage unless God calls you out. And we see in Revelations, in the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, in the 4th verse, he says, "Come out of Babylon, my people." And he's calling his people. He's sending fishers. He's sending the angels to call his people out of the world. He had sown good seed in the world. And so when they hear his word, just like Abraham heard God, That hearing comes by speaking and preaching the word of God. But you can't hear unless God sent a preacher. And he sends that preacher with the word of faith. And faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So that's the only thing that can wake God's people up. But there be other people around you who hadn't heard that clarion call that's still in the world that'll try to bring you back into bondage. That's what kept me in the bondage so long. That's what kept me away. Because you have your parents, God said, "I'll send a division in your homes and places," or whatever. And you have it right in churches where you have the most pagan people, the ideas and culture things that God says, "I am the God of your fathers." He says, "I am the Lord God." This is how he prefaced the declarations before he gave them the Ten Commandments, because they forgot Abraham's teaching. Abraham heard God. Abraham believed God. Abraham followed his statutes and commandments, although not perfectly, but that's what he walked in, his commandments and statutes. Exodus 22, he prefaced it. He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." What brings you into bondage? The things of the world, the people of the world, the religions, the culture. The biggest bondage we have in this nation, in Egypt here, is Christmas, right? That bounds people. That's what's coming. It's just as pagan, has nothing to do with God. But the preachers and everybody has introduced Christ into it. And they don't understand what condemnation they bring into the people. And you know, a lot of even the poorest of people try to represent Christmas, follow this pagan holiday, and they put themselves way into debt. Way into debt, months and months after Christmas, trying to pay for toys and things that they bought and everything on some stupid holiday that the pagans have told you was the birth of Jesus Christ. Easter is the second largest pagan holiday that this nation has. And the founding fathers had said it was against the law to celebrate Christmas. And they don't understand Easter. They don't understand because they're not hearing the word of God. It's bondage. Religion can bring you into bondage. Where did they learn sacrifices from? They learned sacrifices in Egypt. That's where the sacrifices was learned at, in Egypt. That's why you never, do you hear God, or do you hear anywhere in the scriptures do anything? Do they go any further than Abraham? You notice Abraham never talks about his father Terah, because God had told him to leave his father's household and that family and go out, and God would make him a nation. Why? Because his family was pagan. They were moon worshippers. In the land of Uz, they were moon worshippers. And idolatry, they was just like everybody else. So I don't know how did this nation, how the people in the world, you could talk about the Muslims and the Chinese and all of the Russians and all of these different, such was some of you until God called you, unless you one of these pagan professors in the church, one of these holy rollers that come up to think. You know, I had gotten with some holy rollers in the Pentecostal church when I raised up. And they were always talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or whatever, but they had begun to idolize the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And that is only something that God said. That's a person of the Godhead. It's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that Jesus said that I will send in my name. And he'll dwell with you. He'll be a comforter to you. So as your strength, as your spirit grows, that's the Holy Ghost, that's the spirit within you that Christ has sent. But you know, the Holy Spirit, he says he will testify of me in the things of mine, in my name. The spirit never talks of itself. It talks of Jesus. So when you hear somebody always talking about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, you may need to watch that spirit. You need to watch that spirit, because God gives you of his spirit, but the spirit within you that love the worship idols, and that's what Egypt was. They was worshiping the river, the Nile. They was worshiping all the animals and cows. You remember how they say certain things were sacred over there? The people bow down and worship anything. In this nation, they worship cars, they worship television programs, they worship people, they worship singing groups, they worship, there's a thing come on television, American Idol. They worship all types of things. They worship the internet. All these things are their gods. This is a land of idolatry. They worship church buildings, church edifices now. They worship preachers and cars. Paul was dealing with the same thing. He said, because you are what, carnal? He said, I've chosen to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, don't come to me about, hey, man, I follow Paul, I follow Peter, I follow Apollos, I follow. Is Christ divided? They're supposed to be preaching the same thing, but you following T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, or this individual? What about the gospel? The gospel is what saves you. The word of God. You went down that rabbit trail of idolatry. But see, when he called Abraham, that's why he goes no further than Abraham, because Abraham had to learn over a 35 or 40 year period to walk by faith, to live by faith. We should live by faith. In Genesis, the 16th chapter, the letter through the 16th verse, it says, an angel said unto her, who is her? We're talking about Hagar. It was the young lady that Sarah brought her into her life themselves. Abraham lied in Egypt. He went down into Egypt. Instead of trusting God, he went down into Egypt. A lot of times we go into work, into the world and get a wife or get something, and Egypt has a way of sticking with you. So Sarah, I said, concocted this idea about, well, okay, you have Hagar. He didn't went there and lied, and Pharaoh gave him a lot of gifts and different things. And Sarai is with Pharaoh, and God talks to Pharaoh and says, tell Abraham to get out of there. That's my prophet. So that Pharaoh knew who God was. That Pharaoh ran Abraham and his children, everybody off. He hadn't had Isaac yet. He ran Abraham off. He gave him a lot of gifts and things. When leaving Egypt, normally you receive a whole lot. You take a lot with you, but don't allow those things to bring you in bondage. Just like when the children of Israel left Egypt in the times of Moses, the people, God gave them favor with the people, and they borrowed, and the people gave them gold and all kinds of different stuff. But that same gold, remember, they melted into calves and idols and things, and Aaron made a golden calf. Beware of the things you receive, because sometimes it looks like a blessing and the things of the world may become a curse on you. That house, that car, that woman, that man, whatever you're striving for and you get, it may be a blessing at first, but then you seek blessings turning to curses if God's not in them. So Hagar was going, and Abraham and Sarah come up with the wise idea that God had made her barren or whatever, and told Abraham to go in to her handmaid, Hagar, and then Hagar had a son. So that's who Hagar was. So that's not where I'm at here, though. But I'm talking just to let you know who Hagar was. That Hagar said, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. While she was out, she had been thrown out. And this young lady, that's why I say, I hope you get the scope of how I'm preaching this today. Not from a perspective of Israel, but from a perspective of Egypt and being caught in the world. Because we have this thing, this abortion issue that's going on since, thinking of overturning Roe versus Wade, since Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And you have a lot of things with the women and getting rid of the children. You have a lot of things not knowing that there were surrogate mothers during that time. She was a surrogate mother. In other words, if she'd have had a child, that child would have been Abraham's child, but it wouldn't have been through Sarah. The same thing they do now. They can take an egg and put it in somebody else's womb and same thing, have surrogacy. But Isaac, this child, Ishmael, was actually Abraham's son, right? So, she was worried, and she couldn't take care of her. How many young ladies and things out there now, and that's why I say I don't want to get entangled in the abortion issue or whatever, but worry about taking care of a child, worry about a whole lot of other things. My mother was like that at a time or two when she had all of us kids or whatever. My father, he was in this direction and that direction and couldn't keep up with him. My stepfather came in, but she was a mother, an unwed mother raising these children. And that's how I learned God is through my mother. That's who drilled God into me. And to this day, I've always been dedicated to God. And it was because my mother installed that into me. So how many Egyptians, how many people in this nation may not have fathers or whatever, but that mother is crying to God. You've read about this rape that occurred in India where this girl was raped to death or whatever, and they got the men or whatever. But just like in this nation, they're not thinking about the unwed mothers of these women that's having the abortion. I don't think that's the central issue. I think the central issue is that where the husbands, it's like the woman caught in adultery when Jesus allowed the adulterous woman to say, go and sin no more. He looked at her perspective of the thing. These Pharisees, these people had abused her or whatever. Well, if you're issuing out correct judgment, if you want to be fair and have correct justice, where's the man? Why you didn't bring him also if she was caught in adultery? So the woman, by being vulnerable, by she carrying the child or whatever, she said, I can't take care of this child. I can't do this. This is going to mess everything up or whatever. They didn't know God. See, God realized that Egypt didn't know God, even though they were God's people. They didn't have Abraham, a father like Abraham, to teach them and tell them who God was and point them in the direction of God. Just like a lot of these women that's aborting these children or whatever, put them up for adoption or whatever, and I can teach on adoption out of here. Also, I can teach out of adoption out of here, out of Genesis also, because that's what Isaac did, was adopted. Jacob adopted Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when you adopt it into a family, you have those same legal rights and things as someone that's naturally born in that family, if you were legally adopted. And that's what God did. He legally adopted us, so now we're joint heirs with Christ. There's no difference. There's no race. There's no Greek, barbarian, or Scythian, or whatever. There's no male or female. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. What's the same with the Egyptians that's coming to worship? When they hear the call of God, when they hear the preaching and teaching in the Word of God, that when they come to God, they're all the same. They're just as us, because you go all the way back to God says, Abraham is the father of faith, the children of faith. That's the seed of Abraham. So if you read it in Genesis, Ishmael is pictured in a wonderful light. I may preach some on Ishmael as we go or whatever. But all of these women in the nation, a lot of them, so you don't understand why abortion are the different issues. And that's why I say God is a personal God. And so we have to understand the things going about. Same thing with homosexuality or any other sin or anything that's in the world or the people in the world. You got to remember that you have a God in heaven that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for the world. So those that believe on him, there's a lot of believers that's within that. So that's why he gave his son, because they, just like us, who messed up and hadn't heard the gospel, are able to turn toward God and walk the right way. But she was crying. And he says, he spoke to her. This is God speaking to an Egyptian way before he spoke to a lot of other people. It says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thine afflictions. That's why I ask y'all, do y'all pray? Do you pray when you're afflicted, when things going on or whatever? God's listening. A lot of people say God doesn't hear the sinner man's prayer, or doesn't hear prayer. Well, God hears all and knows all. Whether he acts upon it or how he acts upon it, it's up to God. We have to learn to understand God. But he told, I hear your affliction. I hear your prayer. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest. That's where you get Jehovah, I can't pronounce it, but that's where, you didn't heard a lot of people say Jehovah Raphael, Jehovah Sitkanu, and all these different. So she calls him a God that seeth, because he saw what was going on with her. What could she do? Resist? She was a bondwoman of Abraham. She was supposed to do exactly what Sarah told her, because she was Sarah's handmaid. So through no vice of her own, she had a son. But she's this. You see what I'm saying? So she was given away into bondage by her own people. Just like Don't you think it was the other black, the African Americans that sold the Africans that sold the people, their own people, into slavery, into America? They couldn't just take you out of Africa, and if all of the Africans was fighting against them at that time. So she was sold into bondage, and that's why I say we're in bondage. We're in bondage here. We're in bondage wherever you be. But God calls you out of the world. He calls you out of bondage by knowing the truth. So she prayed to him, and God says, I'll make that child a nation. And she says, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? So God saw her, and he heard her in her affliction, and he said he was going to make that child a great nation. And until this day, don't people go against the Arab world, the Muslim world, those people or whatever? They're trying to find God. They worship Allah. They're not. One thing the Muslim and Islam do have over Christianity or whatever, they're not going to worship a man. They don't worship a man, an individual. The moment you said that you were God, you would be stoned and killed by all of the people. But here people worship men or whatever. Religion has put us, given us the leader we have through worship and idolatry of men. So we have to see that God's here. God's seeing. And he has promised to Egypt is, as we said in that key reading from Genesis, that they were going to be in bondage. And I don't have time to go back over all of these nuances and things that we've studied or whatever, but we knew that they were put in bondage. They went into Egypt and were in bondage. But they came out of Egypt, and God said he was going to judge Egypt. That's one of the reasons he's judging Egypt, because of his word. But it says God shall judge the world, right? So this is a judgment that's upon Egypt, but what we're reading from Isaiah is an oracle from God where he's judging all of the nations, because at the same time he's judging Egypt, he's judging his people. Because judgment begins at the house of God. So God's people, wherever they be, they're waking up and starting to hear God's voice, just like among the Egyptians at that time. When he called his people out of Egypt through Moses, and they left Egypt, what happened? Didn't a mixed multitude follow them out of Egypt? In other words, people that were there knowing that this wasn't right, the way they were worshiping, doing things, and someone from the Hebrews had told them, just like Jochebed had told Moses about the Hebrew God or whatever, had preached to teach to him. His family had told him about that Hebrew God, just like Naaman the Syrian, somebody told him, a Hebrew girl told him about the God of Israel. See, unless we preach in the gospel, we can't bring anybody out because they can't hear the word of God. We are witnesses, and to help judge the world, we use the word of God, but we watch how we wield the word of God. We wield it with knowledge and intellect. I can't win anybody preaching the Christmas message. The only ones I could win with that message, that sooner or later that they go turn and realize I've lied to them. That's why Paul told Timothy, you preach the word of God. Don't preach toward church growth. Don't preach to get a crowd. Don't preach that. What social programs y'all have there for the children? What my little ones going to do it? What kind of singing group and everything? If you're not won by the word, you're going to be won by anything. You're going to fall into that, because the word has to be the germinating factor that causes your growth to begin in the word of God, the word of faith. The preaching of the gospel. Cornelius was waiting to hear that gospel. Everybody's waiting to hear the word of God. It quickens you. It makes you alive. It brings you out of the house of bondage. Because the Spirit, once you hear the gospel, and he quickens you through his Spirit, you start getting stronger by feeding on the word of God. Because then you're able to walk by faith, because you start gaining the wisdom and knowledge and understanding through the word by being led by the Spirit of God that's going to lead you and guide you in all truth to give you strength. So the mixed multitude came out of Egypt along with Abraham, along with the children of Israel, those who knew the truth. See, there are those that in this nation right now, in this age, that so many churches and religions, they may know the truth, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We can see this government. So what this government, what this leader, what this these religions and things are doing, though we be just like that mixed multitude, we're not a part of that. That's why I say, come out of Babylon. So though we in this nation, geographically and physically, we're coming out of the world. We're coming out of Babylon. We look to a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're looking to the kingdom of God. We're looking to walking in God. We walk by faith. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We don't love the world nor the things of the world because we've been born again. There's a regeneration going on in our lives. So we cry to God. Genesis the 17th chapter, 1st through the 8th verse. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He told him, you walk before me. And then someone asked me about being perfect or whatever. Now, Abraham still hadn't reached that perfection, had he? You remember I told you he was still lying and doing things he shouldn't do. God gives us goals, objectives, and God not to say try to be 80%. That's where a lot of the religions and things tell you today. That's the lie they preach or teach, that come to God, accept you just as you are. No, he's not either. He's going to tear you all apart. That's what the church is for, the perfecting of the saints. That's why he get you when you commit something unto God, in other words, that becomes consecrated unto God. God takes that and scars that and mars that and shapes it and figures it and put it in an image and likeness of his son, and he crucifies that inner man. And your part in that is to help put the old man to death, who you are and what you were or whatever. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man, I'm not like what I used to be. Now, I used to walk in darkness, but that was before I heard of the light, and that's before I have been transformed and enlightened into his kingdom. I can't continue in sin. That old person, that guy died. The old Paul died. Saul died. That's why God gave him a new name. You're not to do what you... That's a true turning away. See, that's what's wrong with America today. It's too many people in churches and places or whatever, but still they committing fornication or adultery and all these other things. They're living just like they was before they came into the church. They hadn't let none of that stuff alone. They hadn't asked the Spirit to help them become perfect in Christ Jesus. See, because the fivefold gifts, the ministries, the gifts given in the church is for the perfecting of this church, to present it without a blemish, without a spot. That's why if we take heed to the word of God, it has a sanctifying effect. It cleanses us, it purges us. And I just think, when he took them out of Egypt, they didn't have God's law. They didn't know God's law. They had left God's law alone because their parents had stopped teaching it to them, just like us. A lot of us, our parents hadn't taught us, and their parents hadn't taught them. That's why I say you can't go back too far, or you go back to where you'll see that they were stone pagans, that they lied to you about an Easter bunny, a Christmas tree, and all this other stuff. The preachers and things need to be cleansed and purged also. Notice this. You have to prepare to meet God. And that's what we are doing. The church is in preparation to rule and reign with Christ. But he that serveth God or teaches to say the word of God must have clean hands. We have to cleanse ourselves up. Now, Exodus, the 19th chapter, the 21st through the 22nd verse. But the Lord God told Moses, they was at Mount Sinai, God was giving the law, but God was appearing to them. They were very frightful, and God says, go back down and warn the people not to cross the boundaries. They must not come up here to try to see God, for if they do, many of them will die. Even the priest on duty must sanctify themselves, or else I will destroy them. How can I not get the beam out of my own eyes and trying to get a speck out of your eye? I'm not right. How can I get you right? The preachers nowadays, and I was telling you, I meant to print that article or whatever about this priest down in Pearl River, that what he did inside the church or whatever. But we hear so many fallen preachers and priests. We see of a lot of preachers and things that's going around. It applies to me. The word is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. I'm a hypocrite. The nation is a hypocrite if we're saying we follow God in this, but we're living a different way. So that's what strengthens me to see I'm living in Babylon. Because the whole political and religious system is saying one thing and they're doing another. It's promoting racism. It's promoting injustice. It's promoting oppression. It's promoting all of these things that it's no way a perspective of the image in the life of a child of God. It's no way it is. We must purge ourselves. That's why I told you about the word holy rollers. What really got me was we in Pentecostalism, so we thinking these people think this way, they all right. But then I come to find out we're having a meeting, a campground meetings and councils and everything. But this church on the other side of the thing, Curtis Young Church, if you go visit it, his people sit on this side of the church and the blacks sit on that side. Hold on, hold on now. Is it not a mixed multitude, but the multitude is segregated? Okay, well what's going to happen at Tioga campgrounds or whatever? Well, I tell you what, the blacks going to meet this month and we're going to meet that month. Hold on, is this our heaven? Is this the people that say that they have God? Okay, well, this group of preachers within the UPC or whatever, I'm going to give y'all the black bishop so y'all will have all these people over here and our people will be over here. Hold on now. What are we doing here? Is this Pentecostalism? Is this what Pentecostalism is? And this is the true God? This is the way? I thought it was no difference. I thought when Miriam spoke against the woman Moses had married, God turn her leprous. Because blood is blood. If we all of one blood, if we all came from Adam, if your constitution says all men are created equal, but now you have presidents and leaders say you people and causing a division, I don't think you actually believe in your own constitution yet. If you go enslave another man, see, because religious slavery was different. From biblical slavery was different from the slavery that you see that happened in America and other places. Even in Europe and Rome and those places, it wasn't a racial issue. But this nation practiced it through racial issue. Let's continue here. He says, be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and between thy and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and with thou shalt be a father of many nations. That was, he was changing his name to Abraham. You're the father of many nations. God doesn't have grandchildren, great-grandchildren or whatever. All of them are the same. But you keep your individuality. Because there's nothing wrong with your color. He didn't say they're going to be all of one color. They're going to be all of one nation, all of one language. They all go see that I can be separate from you and have my own identity, but serve the same God, and that we are all the same in the essence that God is the Father of us all. Yeah. I think that's nice. I wouldn't want there to become for you to lose your identity. That's why he says a difference between male and female. They don't lose their identity. It's no such thing as same-sex marriage and all that. But the woman has her part and the man has her part. And unless they keep their identities separate and become one, the union is a perverse union. You can't have two women to be two men in a union, and it'll be a godly union, because that's what the celebration is, that God made the two one. That God the Father, God the Spirit, and Jesus Christ are one. Elohim, it's a Father. That's why it says in the beginning, God says, let us make man after our likeness, after our image. In other words, the unity of being one. There's no difference in the two. That's why we have to have that same mind of Christ Jesus. So he's judging Egypt. He judged them because of the gods that they were serving. But just like he has to judge the heathen and the pagan, he judges his own people. But he had took them out. The Old Testament was showed you that God could take a people group, just like the church is. The church is the Israel of God. And we looking at the Old Testament as an example that God's people could become flawed in those that he said was his people, like in Hosea. Those that he said was his people are not his people. Those that he adopted, the Gentiles, he had given Jesus Christ to be a light unto the Gentiles. These are my people. I have found no greater faith in all of Israel, Jesus said, as the faith of this centurion and Cornelius. There's no greater faith than those that believe in me. So when you adopt a child into your family, like I tell you many a time, my father wasn't closest to me as my stepfather was. I was more in his image and likeness. See, so that's what adoption does. It blurs those lines. So once we get into the family of God, it's no that, well, this is my stepson or whatever. No, we all sister and brother in the Lord. So, many nations. I want to enjoy the many nations in the next life, because God created them for a purpose, but only his people can think along those lines and not create a religion, a belief in faith, a belief issue. His people are. He says, neither shall thy name be Abram anymore, but that they shall be called Abraham. For I will make you a father of many nations. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thine seed, and after thee and thy generations. So Abraham was going, his seed in Canaan, God was working with that seed, and he was working for certain purposes. But we can't come in this morning. I don't know what you woke up this morning and went to bed this morning thinking about asking God to feed you and grow you in the grace and knowledge of God. I don't know what you hunger and thirst for and meditate on during the day or not. You might still love the world or whatever, and your mind is on your computer games, on eating, on the things of this world, on your job. A lot of people, when they're in church, they're thinking about what they're going to do after church. They're thinking about what they're going to do. But are you savoring the food that you're eating now? Are you savoring the Word of God? Were you hungering and praying that God would give you a life assimilating word that you can take into your body, that your spirit can use, your spirit man can use? Job said that God's word was more to him than the food of his natural eating food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's why we don't forsake the assembling together of ourselves, because it strengthens us to hear the word of God in unity and see the trials and tribulations everybody else is having. Because there's nothing going on with us that your brethren are not going through. Testimonies are very important. Lifestyles and individualism is very important. To be one in Christ Jesus, we see that we all are struggling. Scholars note that racism is an internalized stereotypes of prejudice and prejudices spanning society. So that's what goes through, and we laugh and talk about other religions or other people, but how many people can laugh and talk about Americans? You know, Jewish people don't believe in Christmas and all that, because they know it's pagan. So you try to introduce a Jewish person to Christianity, and then you have Christmas and things tied in. No wonder you can't win these people, because why? You hadn't got yourself straight yet. This nation has tried to be the policeman for every other nations or whatever, but in other nations, they wouldn't preach and tell you to be like the American democracy, because it's a prostitute. It's a harlot. God calls it the mother of harlots, Babylon the Great. In other words, it's about the dollar. It's about money here in America. It's about materialism. They worship mammon. So you have to look at how we are viewed by other nations and things. Also, see, because when you remember I was telling you about being myopic. See, and you looking in a different way and you're not looking at yourself. Let's first get this thing out of our own eyes. Let's first clean ourselves up. Let's sanctify ourselves before we try to condemn Egypt. It was Pharaoh who told Abraham, God told me that you're lying to me. Abraham was supposedly the Christian. He was the child of God. He knew God. Here are pagans saying, God told me in a dream last night. So God speaks to pagans in dreams. God told me you were lying to me. How many people come to you that supposedly are Christians like in this nation does and try to make you do something for them because they say they are Christian, they should have more power over you or whatever? Well, the power comes in the life you live, the authority the Spirit gives you. You that way, you don't have to make somebody do it. God's going to line that up that way anyhow. Genesis, I tell you a lot of this is going to come out of Genesis because you have to see in Genesis that God will judge Egypt for what they did to people. But also that by the Egyptian, that mixed multitude left out, see, this is the Lord God, and that's why we bring in our offerings and our tithe. That's what's converting us. This is the true God. Between this polytheistic society, all of these gods speaking, wasn't it Nebuchadnezzar who says, hey, Daniel's God is the God of gods. That's the true God. See, when people start realizing the God you serve, if you have that authority, if you are the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God, people are going to know it now. You don't have to tell people. People are going to see that. They will have the fear upon them. That's what Rahab the harlot says. That people have the fear of the dread. God says he could put the dread of the harlot on it. You know, people are afraid of God. You put the fear of God in them. God puts that fear there. Laban had a dream that night that God told him, now you've chased down Jacob and hugged your children, your grandchildren, and everything else, but don't do anything to him. God's going to protect you. But this nation, this leader is able to put the fear of other people, put the fear, oh, the suburbs will go if you allow this to happen. You allow these black people to come around you. You allow the Hispanics in the nation. It's going to go. It's going to go. No. Your own people saying it's going because of you. They don't want you around. So it's not a racial issue. It's not a racial issue. When you go to the Martin Luther King Museum in Memphis or whatever, you see more white people there than you see black people. So it's not a racial issue. Obama had more whites in his administration than he had blacks. It's not a racial issue. It's an issue of what's right and wrong. That's where the division comes at. That's where the purging of Egypt comes. Cream always rises to the top. The bottom feeders down there, the ones that know not God. So don't you let somebody that belong to another faith, another religion or whatever. You better know God for yourself. You know Jesus for yourself and let nobody else tell you about Jesus or how you worship Jesus or whatever. It may be another Jesus they're talking about. Your father, it's all right if your father knew God, your mother knew God. Do you know God? You got to know God for yourself. Now, as I said, I was saying just that. I went way off because, like I said, this is upsetting us here. We're in the fight of our life, and if you don't realize that you're in the fight of your life, you're not like Anna. You're not praying day in and day out. You're not meditating in the Word of God. You're not seeing that we have a problem and God is working. And do you see God working? Once you get to a point not to be able to see God working, that's when you ought to be worried. That's when the fears and things should come in. Genesis 16, chapter 18 through the 20th verse says, "And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thine wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But as for Ishmael, as for Egypt." Now, if you go back and look at Ishmael's life, and he was buried with a great burial, and it talks about the people, and usually the Bible doesn't give you that honor if you wicked it about your burial in your life. Ishmael was gathered together and was buried with his people. God sets Ishmael apart. "I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him," I've blessed Ishmael, "and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." So we see that God, as he's drying up the economy, we're that Egypt. This nation has become Egypt. But God's going to bless this nation. But he's going to have to purge this nation. So as he's purging the wicked, as he's purging the religious hypocrisy, those that profess God, the superstitious one, the false teachers, the false prophets, the ones that know not God because they resort to witchcraft and sorceries and all of these things. They say, well, pray for this person and pray for those people. Well, that's not what the Word of God tells me the whole time about praying for certain people or prayer for certain things. In the book of Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, 13 through the 15th verse, it says, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall you see famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied unto you a false vision and divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name." So just like in effect, the false prophets was lying and propping Pharaoh up with false signs and wonders too about the fourth miracle in Egypt, his religion, soothsayers and astrologers, was misleading him also. Within the church, this is Jeremiah's people in Judah that were misleading and false, prophesying falsely to the people. Well, the Egypt of this nation, as I told you, was Egypt also. The religions of this world, a lot of the preachers, a lot of the political leaders are telling you wrong things. We're not going to be able to ever know the COVID numbers and things. We're not going to ever know the oppression that goes on in this nation. We have to rely upon God to purge the nation. That purge is the purge of the wicked and among the righteous. That's why Abraham had trust in God that he wouldn't slay the righteous along with the wicked. But if you are not in the proper place of preparation, if you're not where God tells you to be, and he brings a judgment, he says, come out of Babylon unless you partake of her plagues. That's what he said in Revelation. Mm-hmm. If you're still in the world, judgments could fall on you also because you've been disobedient to God, because he says, come out of the world. Mm-hmm. Joshua explained to them that when we come take Jericho, that Rahab, you have all of your household in this house and tie this scarlet thread outside the house and won't nothing happen to anybody. But if they're outside, they will lose their life. Judgments could fall on them. Those that were not within that house, judgment fell on. During the time of the Exodus, Moses says, look, God says, apply this blood to the lentils, to the doorposts of your house. Eat of this Passover meal. If you don't do these things exactly as I tell you, the firstborn's going to die. It was a good bit of firstborn of Israel died that night that didn't do what Moses says. There's a lot of people in the church that's not going to do what the preachers are either what the word of God's telling them to do. They will want to do it their way. During the time of Moses, anybody that wasn't on that ark noticed that God locked the door. They didn't make it. You have to do it. When Moses was building the tabernacle, he says, see that you do it according to these specifications, according to this way. Unless the Lord build a house, you build it in vain. It's not about you. When building the temple, he told Solomon, we're going to put this thing together here, assembling on site, S-I-T-E. But the preparations, all of the work, will happen away from the site. In other words, a hammer, a chisel, wasn't anything did. They just brought it in and it fit together right there. All of the hammering and chiseling goes on in the world. Your work and preparation goes on in the world. When you come into the church, you'll fit jointly together, each part, each bone fitting where the ankle bone fit into the leg bone into the knee bone into the thigh bone, and the hip bone in the joint. All of it is fitting to join together. Each person has a place in the church. Each member has a task to do. You're relying on each members on one another. We are the house of God, fitly put together. But unless we follow God the way God says, there won't be any rebels in heaven. You won't have to have a police department in heaven because everybody does what God, there's no sin up there. Nobody's going to be breaking laws. There's no punishment because the days of punishment is gone. You've proven yourself in the word. Unless we walk for God down here, we're not going to be able to walk for God on streets paved with gold. We would be trying to put gold in our pockets and take it home with us. You would be gluttonous in everything. You wouldn't know how to share. You wouldn't know how. God's teaching us right here. Just like you try to teach your children to share, not be selfish. And God's teaching us right here in this world. He's giving you chances to make the mistakes down here. You can't make them up there. It has to be in your nature up there that you've used to walk in this way. You've got accustomed to walk in His way. Walking by faith and trusting in Him. He's the ultimate. He's the precision. In Him. In Him. Everything is in Christ. That's the object of life. That's why Egypt could be bringing offerings and incense and prayer. I hadn't got to that other part. It didn't look like I could get to it. Because I'm going to go way over here. Because I can show you. When we're talking about circumcision and all this, circumcision doesn't save you. Is circumcision save you trying to be a Jew or something? Listen to this. Genesis 16, chapter 24 through the 26th verse, when God was talking to Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that was born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day. As God had said unto him, and Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised of the flesh of his foreskin in that selfsame day. So circumcision, the Egyptians practiced circumcision. You know, the Egyptians was cleaner than the children of Israel. When they were brought to Egypt, you remember I tell you the Egyptians was clean shaven? But Israel, you remember, they didn't trim their beards or the corners of their beards or do any of this other thing. When they brought Joseph out of the prison bar, didn't they say they shaved him and cleaned him up before they brought him before Pharaoh? Joseph told them, I'm going to give you a land in Goshen. I'm going to give you property in Goshen. Because the Egyptians despise herdsmen and sheep people. They see them as unclean. That's why I say we have to watch cultures and divisions. That's why when I come into the Pentecostal church, it was talking about head coverings and women wearing coverings and things women wear. Women shouldn't wear this and women shouldn't wear that. And, you know, because my mama was telling me, say, well, they said women can't wear pants and women can't do this. Don't they have men that wear gowns? That's what they wore in the Old Testament, wasn't it? So, you know, you're right. But all of them wore gowns. All of them wore robes. They're women's pants just like they're men's pants. The prohibition was against cross-dressing. Men wearing that pertaining to a woman. So you should wear women's pants. But women shouldn't wear men's pants. Right? Unless you understand. But if you're ignorant, you do like me. When I first came to Pentecostal church, I ended up giving away my TV, all my short sleeve shirts, all this other stuff or whatever. But Paul says, when he was preaching to Corinthians, he says, we have no such culture or tradition now, when he was talking about the coverage and everything, because it's different cultures you go into or whatever. Listening at my wife the other day or whatever, she brought up a point that I hadn't realized, because you remember when the pandemic was spreading or whatever? I say, man, you wait this hit in some of those undeveloped nations. You wait and see what it do to Africa. You wait and see what it do over in Afghanistan and all these other places. What nation leads the world in pandemic? United States, right? More people have died and injured here. Why? I didn't thought of it. My wife says, you know what? Because the women over there, they wear with their mouths and faces covered in here. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
That's why I give you, you know, my wife sometimes think I'm not paying attention. I'm paying attention to her. But in Africa, all of, in Europe, Afghanistan, all of those countries, the women are covered. That's why we have more disease and different things or whatever, because of our lifestyle, our culture. So when he's calling us out of Egypt and saying Egypt will inherit their portion, he's not saying this through a racial thing. He's saying it through his word that all nations will. Because there's nothing wrong with being Egyptian. He said the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Palestinian, all of these people will be saved. He's talking about his people among them. God has people everywhere. He has scattered his people, but in the last days they'll hear his voice and become converted and come unto him. In the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon some flesh. I got scripture wrong? I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. So don't listen to the people in this nation and think we should put up a wall or something. I think we should learn to work together and that God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh should be saved. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, hearing your word, Lord God, allowing your servant to preach your word, to speak your word to your people, Lord God, that we grow in the grace and nurture and admonition of you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.